League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that.
It is Monday night, and I am delighted to be sitting next to the Monday Night Delight. Carla Dawson, how are you?
I'm doing so great. I don't like having a week off, boss. Stop traveling.
No more travel. We've got one of our
superstars.
Usual members. Jose is gone today, and so Andrew Carlson sitting behind the glass. Welcome in, Andrew.
It's a pleasure to be here, guys.
Now, you don't speak the Spanish that Jose does, do you? ¿Cómo estás tú?
Estoy bien, pero para un gringo creo que puedo hablar bien.
Look at him go.
Snip, snap. Now, very nice. Blonde Jose.
Well, you do know Blonde Jose, Andrew Carlson, that after the show on some Monday nights, Jose always asks Carla to go out salsa dancing. You don't have any plans like that, do you?
Okay, Andrew just ran out the door. We need a producer. Don't scare him with a
No gun. Salsa dancing tonight with the gloss.
It's not on my schedule.
Bailando.
Well, it is a million-dollar night as I sit next to my million-dollar co-host.
Yes, it is a million-dollar night.
It's really cool to think that one of these players, several of whom really don't make $1 million over the course of a whole season.
Like most of them.
And have a chance to win in one night, one great night of a lot of great home runs, you could win $1 million.
Well, luckily, it went to a very charitable cause last year when Bryce Harper won it because his bank account needs some help.
Yeah.
Really, he needed that million-dollar boost.
Well, later we're going to get a chance to visit with Mo Vaughn. It was a prolific home run hitter.
The hit dog. With the Boston Red Sox.
And we'll get to talk to him about all things baseball, including, well, I mean, he's a guy who did participate in a home run derby, but not for $1 million. I think he will look wistfully that he was playing in the wrong time.
You know, when he was playing, he had the largest Major League Baseball contract ever. 6 years, $80 million.
Paltry sum.
Oh, my goodness.
Wrong time. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look first at what has happened in the NBA. The big move with
power plays
and the new landscape in both the West and the Eastern Conference. When we return, it's the Boston Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, I might note the music's just a little bit different when Andrew Carlson's behind the board instead of Jose. Have you noticed the difference?
It's definitely guitar banging music.
It's a little more banging going on. That's all right.
Well, no, I did not say that.
No, you did not.
Jeez.
None of that stuff.
Don't be twisting my words around, boss.
I do want to talk travel with you, though, because most of us do a little travel throughout the year. And I want to ask you, how do you book your hotel rooms? You go to
You're going to help me.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
You go to besthotelrates.com, and because they've negotiated the best rates at over 600,000 hotels worldwide, and they have extended these discounts to everybody. Go to besthotelrates.com and plug in your destination, dates of travel, and voila, you're looking at a discounted rate for many of the hotels that you would pay much more for somewhere else. Save your money and go to besthotelrates.com.
I did it this week. Set to go.
She's set to
Getting
go.
Getting out of Houston.
She's going to Manhattan.
That's right. Watch out, New York.
Orwell.
She's a-coming.
New York, which has the home of the Knicks, who lost out on
the who?
Everybody. I mean, I remember it was just about 6 weeks ago. We were envisioning, well, maybe they'll win the lottery. They could get Zion.
Trying
and then they
for
could
Zion.
Go get, yeah, they're trying for Zion. And then they were going to go get one of the great free agents, maybe even two of them. They had room for all that. Anyway, it's not even worth talking about the Knicks other than to say they had a disastrous 8 week period here. Anything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong for the Knicks.
Yeah, they missed out on KD. Well, lost the Zion sweepstakes, missed out on KD.
Yep.
But, you know, let's just say one thing. They had a 14% chance of getting the number one pick.
Right.
When do you feel good about a 14% chance of anything?
Yeah, it shows that the benefits of tanking really aren't very significant.
No, not in the NBA. So credit the system that it doesn't really work that way.
Okay, something that did work was the masterful work of Jerry West for the Clippers. And honestly,
okay, the West was won, but it's not just the Western Conference. You're right.
Well, it may
you named the man.
I mean, it's first of all, several observations. I didn't see this coming at all. I know there were whispers that maybe Leonard would go to the Clippers, but to go with Paul George and the monster deal and the team they've set up, it was amazing how well it was
power
sort of kept
play
under
wraps. Century.
It really was.
I mean, it has changed the NBA vastly.
Because if, in fact, Kawhi was thinking of going to the Lakers, it would have been, I think, disastrous for the NBA. Nobody wants that super team. And frankly, I wouldn't be that excited for Kawhi Leonard to win a title with LeBron James.
No.
What he did in Toronto, the way he won, the way he carried that team, the shot over the 76ers in the playoffs.
The three-bounce shot.
That was the three-bouncer. That was a really, really exciting window and time for Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors. Now he goes to the Clippers, and yes, they're favorites in a way that Toronto was not. But the Clippers are the number one team, the number one favorite now, with what they've been able to do, and Jerry West gets a lot of credit.
Well, he does. And Jerry West, I think he was the quiet storm underneath all of this, because as a homie, Warriors homie, and, you know, apologist, so Jerry West was, you know, not only won titles with the Lakers.
Yep.
Let's be clear, he is way more than a logo. This guy is powerful. At 81 years old, he is sending the shockwaves to the NBA. So everyone's talking about Kawhi and his brilliance with bringing Paul George, and that is brilliant. He wanted someone to come with him. But let's go back a little bit. So when Jerry West was with the Lakers, they won championships in the Magic Johnson era, and all of that, you know, made them a dynasty. Then he goes on to the Golden State Warriors. What happens there? They win their first championship in 2015. They bring in KD. They win a second championship 2 years later. Jerry West up and leaves.
But he basically had established a second dynasty.
Exactly.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know what? This is going into my mind, and it's not leaving, that he is leaving the Warriors after 1 year with KD, a brilliant run at a championship. I'm scratching my head. Why is he going to the Clippers? And I thought, well, maybe he's going to try and get LeBron in free agency, because that's when LeBron was going to be leaving Cleveland the following summer. And he did leave, but he went to the Lakers. And I was like, Well, here it is. He hitched his horse to, you know, literally the richest owner in the NBA, in Steve Ballmer.
Yep.
And Jerry West is brilliant. I mean, he knew exactly how to build this dynasty. He's done it twice before, and he's going to do it again. And what's interesting here, too, is that he had done enough for the Warriors. Like, he was finished. Nothing more to do there. Yes, they went on to win, you know, another championship, but he didn't need to do that. Jerry West's son, Ryan, is the Lakers' director of player personnel. So I think he duped everybody. The media, his son. He just knows what he's doing. He knows what it takes to win from a player perspective. And now he's got a front office perspective. And he's got the money, and he's got the support of Steve Ballmer. And Steve Ballmer doesn't put that money in to be a mediocre, entertaining team like an OKC. He wants a winner, and he's going to get it.
Well, he's got it. And
wow.
Look, it's easy to see those big names, Leonard and George. But I also want to I think that team is going to be very, very strong defensively. Tom Thibodeau came out the other day, and he said, look, this could be the best defensive team since, well, Tom Thibodeau's 2008 Celtics, which were loaded up defensively. They had Kevin Garnett anchoring the defense in the middle. They had guys like Rajon Rondo, who was very good defensively at the time, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce. They were a team that played really well defensively under Tom Thibodeau. He now looks at this team with Leonard and George and Patrick Beverley, who is an outstanding defender, and then some other guys they've got, Harkless and Magruder, and they are going to be...
Lou Williams.
Lou Williams.
Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
So former Rockets, I'll be darned. Look at that.
Well, they've got the roster now, and anyway, it's interesting to see Las Vegas has ranked them as the favorite to win the NBA title next year. Lots of ground to cover, and obviously injuries come to bear and all that, but
the
Clippers now stand atop the odds to win the championship.
Well, you know, it's now, thanks to the Splash Brothers in Golden State, small ball is where it's at. Everyone's shooting from the perimeter. Rockets are shooting from the perimeter. People are shooting threes everywhere. And in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, you have the two best perimeter defenders in the league.
Yep.
And they are playing together, and they've got an incredibly deep cast around them. I mean, wow. But health is a factor. Who would have thought at this time, all anyone was saying is the Warriors are going to win again. There's no competition for the Warriors. Well, who saw KD having an Achilles and Klay having an ACL? So you absolutely don't know what happens. You know, LeBron had the groin issue. But you know what that allowed? You know how this is going to turn around for the Lakers in a good way. So, yes, they did miss out on Kawhi Leonard, which they were hoping to get to team up with AD and LeBron. But LeBron missing the postseason for the first time in how many years? He's got rested legs and a rested groin, which was his issue. So I think he's going to be one to watch out for. He's got an axe to grind. He's going to be rested and ready to go.
So looking at the Vegas odds, Lakers are the third favorite. So it goes Clippers 1, Milwaukee Bucks 2.
I can see that.
Lakers 3, 76ers 4.
I agree.
And 76ers, I think getting Al Horford was a big, big-time pickup for them.
That was huge.
It's a really great move. You know, the one thing that the Celtics looked at that offer, I mean, it's a four-year deal. Horford will not be worth the money in year four when he's age 37. But for this coming season and next season, Al Horford, the big-time contributor for the Sixers. And then you've got Golden State and the Rockets. So right now, seven of the top 10 teams of the favorites are in the West, and six of the top eight are Western Conference teams. The West is stacked when you think about the talent that has gone from East to West. I mean, Kawhi is the big swing, but the West is stocked. I guess when you look at the East, certainly Milwaukee and the 76ers have to be the favorites in the East, but the West is wide open and it's going to be very competitive.
Well, and you know who we're forgetting about in the West too, because so you look at the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
They were the number two seed this past year, and they had the second best record in the West. They bring back Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, and then you've got Utah, who acquired Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Jeff Green. So, and then they've got a great core that comes back with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. So the West is deep. And what Al Horford does for the 76ers, besides his talent, it's a veteran presence on a very young team.
Now, he was the mature, reasoned one on a Celtics team last year that didn't have much unity. All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with the hit dog, Mo Vaughn, who was a standout Boston Red Sox home run hitter and once was in the home run derby on the $1 million night. It's home run derby night for MLB. You're listening to The Boss on the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Mo Vaughn, a three-time MLB All-Star. Mo, thank you so much for joining us on the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Well, so we've got you here on the night of the home run competition. How would you have liked to have entered a home run competition for a prize of $1 million?
Well, you know, I would love that. Now it's crazy how the game has progressed, you know, to incentivize guys, you know. But it's nice, you know. I never really hit well with in the home run derby. I remember I tried it a couple of times. It's not easy. It's not an easy task, but you know, some of my good friends, Frank Thomas, Barry Bonds, those, you know, Ken Griffey, those guys really did well. But it's a tremendous spectacle to see.
You know, asking you about that, Mo, why do some players, they don't want to hit in the home run derby? There's quite a few of them that, not just because of injury, back out, but just don't flat out want to do it. Why wouldn't they want to showcase that?
Well, some of them, some guys have a natural home run swing and some don't. I didn't. So when I did it, I kind of sliced the ball when I hit and, you know, stayed behind the ball, hit the ball in their way. And when in these derbies, you really got to, you know, pull the ball with power. And some guys mm-hmm. just weren't built to do it. Mike Piazza was a great player, Hall of Famer. He hated hitting in the home run derby also. So sometimes people think that, you know, it messes up their swing. You know, it's all in what you've done in the past. But, you know, usually these guys get out there for the first time and have fun, and then they make their adjustments from there.
We're talking to Mo Vaughn, who had 328 career home runs. So do you have a favorite in tonight's contest?
No, I really don't. I like the guys that are in it. You know, I think Vlad Guerrero Jr. is going to be a great spectacle. I'll tell you why. Have you ever seen that video of hitting the ball off the tee out of the stadium?
No.
The video of him in the minor leagues. He hit a ball off the tee out of a minor league stadium. So I want to see if he can really get into a groove, you know, with the ball traveling towards him.
Well, and you look at his salary of $550,000. If he wins this tonight, he doubles his earnings in one night's work. That's not bad.
It would be a heck of a night, right?
Not bad, right?
That'd be awesome for him.
Exactly.
So, move on with us here on SB Nation Radio. Love to ask you about the state of the Red Sox. It's been a disappointing season thus far. Do you think at the deadline they'll be looking to bolster their starting rotation more or the bullpen?
I think the bullpen is where their issues are. Listen, I think, you know, if you look at the Red Sox, they won 140 games last year. And regardless of what anybody says, you know, I've never been in that situation. I know how I felt just winning the American League East in 95. It's hard to maintain that level of consistency, intensity. You know, everything went right for them. Everybody had career years last year. Everything Alex Cora did worked. But listen, it's hard to repeat. But they're only, I think, 2.5, maybe 3 games out of the wild card. And once you get into the tournament, anything can happen. So, but I just think it's just hard to pick up that time. They probably were that team is probably the greatest team all the way around in Red Sox history. And it's hard to go back there twice and do that.
Indeed it is. We're talking to Mo Vaughn, a 3-time All-Star. Let me ask you about some of those young Red Sox hitters. I mean, Devers has looked pretty strong. Who stands out to you the most?
The first baseman, Chavis. Devers, you know, I think, a lot of the guys are playing well. You know, I love the shortstop. He seems to be coming into his own. You know, right now they got some guys having some down years. If you can pick it up in the second half and put it together, you're right back where you left off. So the Red Sox, you know, have always been known for growing, you know, talent, position players, you know, in their history. So it's great to see these young guys come along.
We're talking with 3-time All-Star former Boston Red Sox Mo Vaughn. Mo, you're also known as the Hit Dog. You had 5 consecutive seasons hitting over 300. You are the gold standard. So tell me, your approach at the plate was crowding the plate when you were forcing pitchers to throw outside. Would that same strategy work today with all the saber metrics and all the analytics going into the game?
I think it would. You know, I was on the plate because they were running from me. But I figured if I got closer, either they're going to hit me or I'm going to hit them. It forced me to be on my game. You know, I had to come to the plate ready each night and be ready to hit. And it brought the game to me, and I thought that was really important. Listen, it's the same game as it was when I played, and the same game will be from 30 years from now. You got to see it, hit it, read it, and get through it. I'm not so too much sure about this launch angle and sabermetrics talk on exit velocity and all these different things. I think it just sounds good, But bottom line, you got to get through the ball and get extension. But be prepared to call the play every night. And that's what I did when I was with the Sox.
And, Mo, you know, you were a very prolific hitter, and especially with the position from first base. Today we don't see that as much from that position. So is hitting against the shift, does that have something to do with it? Why are we seeing less production from that position than when you were hitting there?
Listen, I think this with the saber metrics, I think I hear a lot of guys talking about that average doesn't matter. And I think that's completely wrong. When I came up, you know, as a young guy, guys in the 3, 4, 5 slots, you know, you learn how to hit. You learn how to stay inside the ball. You learn how to stay on the ball. And hitting 225, 240 in those positions was just not acceptable. It wasn't acceptable by, you know, I was trained by Mike Easton, you know, the Pirates. He was trained by Willie Stargell. It just wasn't accepted back in the day of, you know, massive strikeouts, continuously hitting the ball in the air to make outs just to hit home runs. We were taught to hit with men in scoring position. There was a way to do it. You got to stay on the ball, stay through the ball, and I think that has been lost.
We're talking to Boston Red Sox Hall of Famer Mo Vaughn. Okay, what about today? You heard Justin Verlander, and many have said that the ball is juiced, and that's what's leading to all these home runs. Do you think the ball is different today?
Well, one of my best friends is Frank Thomas, and he talks about it a lot. Last night I was just watching the reel of home runs, and I see guys 190 pounds driving the ball the other way, you know, right-handers hitting the ball, you know, to right field, like left-handed batters, left-handed ballers, batters driving the ball to left field, like right-handed batters. And, you know, you see some of these balls traveling in distance. And listen, I'm not here to take away from what guys are doing today because I'm glad for them. There's a lot of money out there to be made, and how much of the money you can get, you should get it. But, yeah, you know, there's some things. I mean, there's record-breaking home run, you know, numbers. I think the home run is 10% up. It's ever been. Listen, we all had to do some things, you know, after the era that I was in with the steroid era. Maybe this is the way they did it. You know, I'm not so sure. So, but yeah, I just see, you know, there's this big thing, you know, we used to play a little man hitting, like, you know, little guys hit the ball, you know, they they're going to hit the ball up against the fence and it's not going to get to the ball. But you see these same size guys now that when I played, We're reaching the seats now. So to me, there's got to be something going on.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mo. Question, tell us about your baseball academy, the Mo Vaughn Baseball Academy. How can people get a hold of your academy, and what made you decide to open such a thing?
First of all, I'm lucky enough. I always say this, you know, my 5-year-old son, you know, started 2 years ago in baseball. I thought I would never coach him, never get involved. Never be on a level with him. And I started coaching. And I started an all-star team with him. We went out of a league, and we played in this T-ball all-star tournament. And we wound up coming in second in the tournament. But the whole time before practice, we were down here in Florida. It rained for like 3 weeks straight. And I was so frustrated. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get a space for my guys to work regardless of weather. And with that, you know, right now I have the Broken Raton Paw Sox named after, you know, my Paw Sox AAA team that's out of Pawtucket, which is now moving to Worcester, but we'll be all right. And I'm in Boca, so we are, you know, I have three teams, you know, 11-year-old team, an 8-year-old team, and a 12-year-old team. I started, and I just got started because of my son, and it was a way to give back to the community, teach these kids some baseball, and along with that, using the vehicle of the game to teach them life lessons. And that's how the academy started. The academy now is open 5 days a week, 4 to 7 p.m. We offer hitting, catching, pitching, defensive skills, advanced defensive skills. I want to be out here teaching these young people the game in a way that they can get some of them out of the academy. And that's how the academy was started. I had no idea what was going to happen, how it was going to work out, but it seems to be going well. But it's just my way. I say I always thank myself for getting me back in the game. I was really out of it, not involved on any sort of level. And he brought me back to the game where I feel I can give my knowledge to the young people and also help them to develop some life skills.
Awesome stuff. That's Mo Vaughn joining us on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line. Mo, thanks so much for joining us.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Andrew, I thought only Jose could do it, but you're doing it. You're playing music that's got Carla dancing in the studio.
I love me some Jackson 5, Andrew.
She was up on the table, moving around, dancing like a fiend.
Not that I was born when this was out, but I'm just saying.
Just saying.
I like it.
Well, I'm going to just say this to you. I want you to prepare for your summer road trips. Before you head out, I want you to visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you hit the road will ensure a safe journey during the summer months ahead. You can get all that at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Got it?
Got it. Heading out this week. I'll be at O'Reilly.
All right. One guy who hopefully now gets it, he had a near brush with trouble in the NFL, Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, darn.
Yep.
Did he really?
He had a sit down with Roger Goodell because, of course, Elliott had his moment in Vegas where he shoved a security guard, got himself in trouble. And the question was, look, would he be suspended again for conduct unbecoming to the NFL? And I think he was on the cusp. I think perhaps maybe the NFL, when they look back at the first suspension, it was heavy-handed then, and maybe he's getting a light hand this time. But goodness, the Cowboys have had to live on the edge of whether Elliott's going to be playing or suspended the last couple of seasons.
Well, I think, you know, this is the way of the NFL, and it's definitely the way of the Cowboys. Your on-field production depends on how we treat your off-field production. I mean, Roger Goodell in this meeting did, you know, determine that Elliott did not violate the league's personal conduct policy. I guess you can go ahead and push a security guard to the ground. That's totally fine.
There's some gray area here.
There is some gray.
There was an interpretation. And, of course, we're still living in a world where judge and jury is one man, Roger Goodell.
That's right. That's right. So I think that is a positive sign that they sat down together.
Yep.
And, you know, it came out in Ezekiel Elliott's favor. But you know what? You're looking at, you know, Elliott would like his contract extended. Dak Prescott would like his contract extended. Both of them have another year to play on it before that needs to happen. So you're Mr. Cowboy. You're Jerry Jones. Knowing if you're looking at on-field and off-field, whose do you extend first? And does Ezekiel Elliott's off-field behavior, does it matter to you as an owner of the Cowboys?
No, I think it definitely matters. I mean, when we look at Elliott, of course, he was taken in the first round, so he is under a rookie agreement for 4 years with an option for a fifth, mm-hmm. and he's just completed three seasons. So the Cowboys really don't have to do anything with him. Of course, his agent's knocking on their door. Everyone's getting in line. In the case of Dak Prescott, he was drafted in the fourth round. He's played 3 years, so he has this final year in his contract, and he is a quarterback.
And a squeaky clean resume.
And he did not have the off-field issues of Ezekiel Elliott, that is to be sure. I mean, I think the Cowboys are looking at Elliott and seeing several things. First of all, they do have the rights to control him for the first 5 years of his career. Now, how many great years do running backs typically have? Maybe he's good for 8 years, but maybe five or six. And so renewing him after the first 5 years is always troublesome and particularly hard to do with a running back. This year, they did draft two running backs. I mean, they're not marquee names, but they're guys who have some potential, and often you can find quality running backs later in the draft. They drafted Tony Pollard in the fourth round. He's a running back out of Memphis. He's not likely an every down back. He's very, very quick and shifty, a change of pace kind of guy, somebody who might even play in the slot as a receiver. But apparently they're working on ways to get him involved in the offense. They also drafted Mike Weber, who they picked up in the seventh round. Now, he's the guy who followed Elliott.
That's right.
And when Elliott finished at Ohio State, Mike Weber came along. He's much more of an every down back. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. But those are two guys who could be a 1-2 punch and could fill the gap with Elliott. I don't think it's a certainty that the Cowboys will re-sign Elliott to a big agreement. I think they should
you
let
mean
this
now,
play out.
Or they, or well, even in a year.
Well, I'm going to say certainly that it's if I were running the Cowboys right now, I wouldn't sign him now. I'd let another year go by. I'd see what kind of behavior he does, what kind of productivity on the field he renders. I would wait him out. I would go get Dak Prescott under contract, and I would get Amari Cooper under contract. Mm-hmm. Those are names you've got to address. Those are pretty special players. And look, as I've said before, I don't think Dak Prescott is a sure thing. I think he's proven to be a good quarterback, but whether he can be a great or elite quarterback, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, that's still to be determined. But after three seasons, it's reasonable to bet a lot of money on him.
Well, and you've also got the extra added unknown of Kellen Moore, a new OC in Dallas,
yep.
and see what he can do.
There's been a lot of criticism that Scott Linehan had too conservative an offense,
sure.
not enough creativity, was way too predictable. But now, with the weapons that they have, with the offensive line really looking good, and Travis Frederick coming back at mm-hmm. center, of course, he had to take last year off because of his nerve disorder that precluded his ability to play. But if Frederick comes back and that O-line returns to form, I don't know what they can get out of Witten at tight end at his age, but they have a solid tight end core. Blake Jarwin showed some flashes last year. Their wide receiver core is outstanding. I mean, I think one thing that's came out of the minicamp is that Randall Cobb looks like the old Randall Cobb, and he will slide into the slot and replace Cole Beasley probably without a
sure.
hiccup. So they've got all the pieces offensively, and with more creativity from Kellen Moore and a little bit more maturity from Dak Prescott, I think that team is poised to be very, very explosive offensively. One of the things that comes out, we've got a couple people who have been in the Dallas camps, and they have said that Dak Prescott looks better than ever, that the accuracy issues that he had in previous years, he seems to be working out, that his form is much more consistent, and obviously a lot of accuracy is dependent upon technique, and he is throwing the ball with much greater accuracy and velocity.
Well, you know, he had a breakout year at Mississippi State that
yep.
put him on the map, and so you know he's got that raw talent, and with the right person, he's a coachable kid. He's not a kid. He's a coachable guy, and that's going to bode well.
Listen, all the intangibles on him are excellent.
I think
leadership.
So too. They got a steal.
Presence in the locker
round.
Room. It is amazing that he lasted the fourth round. And yes, so in that draft, it was an amazing draft for the Cowboys. He got Elliott number 4 overall in the first round pick, Jalen Smith in the second round, Malik Collins, a starter at defensive tackle in the third, and then they have, of course, Dak in the fourth. So one of the best drafts the Cowboys have ever had.
Credit Stephen Jones. That
yeah.
was an outstanding draft. And they really have drafted outstanding since then, even this past year with not. They didn't have much to work with, and they were able to make it work.
Will McClay, the man who really runs all the scouting and professional development, all the assessments of the players, he stacks that board. And then Stephen Jones, I give a lot of credit for having the discipline to stick to the board.
And to stand up to his dad.
And to stand up to his dad, who wants to deviate from the board.
Who wanted Johnny Manziel, yeah.
Right.
Okay, there we go.
But yes, on Will McClay's board that year was Zach Martin, who proved to be the right choice. It was not the sexy pick. I mean, he's just an offensive lineman.
No, but he's a stalwart.
He has been outstanding and really a big reason why that offensive line, when you have Zach Martin and, of course, Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick, you picked all those pieces together and they were able to get Lyle Collins for the right tackle spot. They're really stocked and doing well on that offensive line. Everybody knows that. And I just think it's about growing Dak Prescott and showing some creativity on the offensive front.
Well, you know, you invest in the non-sexy pick of offensive lines, in which a lot of teams don't because
yep.
that's not a super lot of fun. But it's very there's a lot of correlation to your quarterback's success and your offensive line. You look at the Indianapolis Colts. There's a prime example.
Yep.
They tanked and they used those years of draft picks to boost up that O-line. And goodness, watch out for Indy. They're
yep.
a-coming.
No, they are. They look very poised. One piece of news I was reluctant to tell you.
Oh, no. You're going to break something hard.
This is an NFL topic. And I know you're a fan of The Bachelorette, and I know you're a fan of the NFL.
Yes, guilty pleasure.
Yes, a guilty pleasure of yours. This is not as dramatic as The Bachelorette.
Oh, darn.
But your man, Baker Mayfield, you will not be able to marry him.
Say it isn't so.
It is so.
Oh.
He's taken. He's off the market. Baker has just gotten married to a lovely blonde woman, Emily Wilkinson.
There's a Mrs. Baker.
There's now a Mrs. Baker.
Wow. Well, you know what? I hope she's cute and nice. I'm sure she is. sure she's quite foxy.
Yeah,
no, he would need someone foxy.
Not even a
got a good arm key.
No jealousy on your side. I mean,
I'm taking the high road.
For once, she does.
It doesn't happen often, so note this.
All right, she will say nothing ill of Emily Wilkinson.
I wish the best for the Bakers, for the Mayfields,
for the Mayfields. Well, the NFL is envisioning big things for the Mayfields because
yes, they are.
Well, at least Vegas is. When you look at the odds that have come out now for the 2020 Super Bowl, well, the Browns are ranked number 10 overall, which is really an amazing thing because it's been forever since the Browns would have ever been given that kind of due.
10 overall to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Look, the Patriots, number one, of course, they're the Patriots. They are the favorites to win the Super Bowl this
Chiefs
year.
Chiefs must be up there.
And the Chiefs finish number two.
Okay.
Very wisely said. But I'll just go back to the Browns. I mean, give them something. They're number 10 overall. Does that not turn your head?
It does turn my
head.
Does
that not make you think about what might have been with you and Baker?
No.
No? All right. You're
no,
just
we can't
casting
talk about
off.
That on air.
All right. That's too personal.
It's
I understand.
Very personal. We're just going to have to. But, you know, it's going to depend on can OBJ stay on the field?
Yeah.
I mean, they've got, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry, former LSU teammates.
Yep.
But, you know, your best ability is availability. And we have not seen that yet with OBJ. So, you know, I hope for him to be healthy. It'd be exciting.
And in their backfield, they've got Nick Chubb, a good running back, but another one, Kareem Hunt.
You love yourself some Nick Chubb, don't you?
Well, I do. And Kareem Hunt, if he gets back on the field, I mean, not a health issue
he's
there,
got,
obviously.
What, 8 games to start?
I thought he had a 6-game suspension, okay. But I might be wrong. So, but they've got the horses. I mean, they've got all
kinds of. They do have the horses.
I mean, defensively at the key positions, think about Myles Garrett rushing, Olivier Vernon on the other side.
But they do have a fairly unproven coach in Freddie Kitchens. He did amazing last year.
Yep.
He really did. But he's got a lot to work with. So I do think he's got a great relationship with Mayfield. That's going to make a big difference. So it'll see if it can all be put together.
So just looking at Vegas' odds for the favorites to win the Super Bowl, Patriots 1, Chiefs 2, Rams 3.
I was going to say Rams have to be up there, so that means the Saints have to be up there.
Yeah, not particularly creative. Yeah, that's right. The Saints were 4.
Okay.
Given where everybody finished last year, those 4 are no surprise. Then your Colts, who are really looking good, and Luck has returned to form. As you noted, the offensive line is giving him time he never had.
Well, in the AFC South, let's just take a look at what was once a laughable.
Yep.
Division is stacked.
Yeah, who's
quarterbacks
weak?
In the AFC South? right. AFC South are Nick Foles, Andrew Luck, Deshaun Watson, who am I missing? Marcus Mariota, and
well, that's it.
That's it.
You went through it.
Yeah. How about that?
That's a good group. I mean,
it's a nice group.
Mariota is probably the biggest question mark. Foles,
well,
the Super Bowl winning quarterback.
He's injury prone too.
Yeah,
his issues are injury prone. Did the Texans even make the list? Top 20? Are they in there at all?
Texans,
we're based out of Houston, so
are the 16th most likely team to win the Super Bowl. So really, actually, right in the middle.
Right.
Middle of the pack.
That's about fair.
Well, I guess it is. Cowboys finish at 12, but just to go down.
Really? I would think they'd be higher.
Well, one thing is the Bears were 6, which seemed high for the Bears, who still have a lot of unproven parts. Eagles 7 for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Packers 8. Chargers 9, I get that, and then we're back at the Bears. Oh, the Browns at 10. So
interesting. They've got the Chargers up pretty high.
Yeah, Chargers. I think they're pretty well stocked this year. And I mean, Philip Rivers is due, poor guy. He's had a lot of great years.
Oh gosh, he has had so many great years, and just, you know, hopefully they can fill a soccer stadium this year. That'd be nice.
So this list, which goes to the first 16 teams, does not mention your beloved Raiders.
Well, they're going to be busy filming Hard Knocks.
Yes.
Which starts on August 6th, Tuesday. I will be in front of the box watching that. I cannot wait.
I have no doubt you'll
watch
every single minute.
And frankly, I don't want them highlighted as, I want them to just, there's no way they can be out of the spotlight. They are.
Oh my goodness.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
But I don't want them on that list.
Maycock, Gruden, they are made for TV.
Yeah, they
congratulations.
Are.
All right, we'll be right
and
back.
AB.
Yes, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, fun to be with you on $1 Million night. $1 Million at stake at the Home Run Derby. How about that?
Oh my gosh, it's so exciting already. I love this.
So your bracket is holding up thus far, much like your NCAA bracket, but the bracket here on the Home Run Derby.
Oh yeah, don't you be bringing that up to
me? No, you did great. Look, Peterson.
I started out like a star.
Well, yes, you did in your NCAA bracket.
Yes.
In this bracket, the MLB bracket, the Home Run Derby bracket, well, Peterson has defeated Bregman, so Alex Bregman will depart from view. And Vlad Guerrero just had a record number of home runs.
29.
That's fantastic.
Oh my gosh, he broke Josh Hamilton's single round record.
So Guerrero advances 29. Over Chapman.
I just love that guy.
Well, Guerrero, I mean, the interesting thing is when you look at how many home runs.
Vlad Guerrero Jr., yeah.
Yeah, Vlad Guerrero, that he's, thus far, he's had 8 home runs this season, and that's way behind all the others. Yet tonight, if he just does well one night, he makes $1 million. I mean, this is a big deal.
I mean, he's got a $500,000 salary, basically. This is huge for him.
Yeah. He'll make more in one night than the entire season in terms of compensation. So, Vlad Guerrero.
Capitalism just beautiful.
Well, it's a beautiful thing if you're Vlad Guerrero Jr. Although, yes. He's still got a ways to go. So, it's Guerrero Jr. over Chapman. And now the battle between Bell and Acuna is up. And those two look like they're pretty well evenly matched. So, big night. $1 million at stake.
I love this. It's so fun. And the players are so relaxed. That's what I like to see. It's intense, but in a different way.
Well, it is. I've always felt the Home Run Derby was intense, but in a different way. But when you actually throw $1 million in, I might feel some stress about that.
Right. Yeah. So come on, Vlad. You can do it.
All right. We will be right back with an update on the Home Run Derby when we return. The Boss and the Gloss, SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.